Doom do 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 doom do do. Doom do 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 doom do. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 25 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant friends. Welcome back to this awesome episode all about the fiddle leaf fig with Erin Kobayashi of Lake Hyogo. Before we get into that, I just wanted to say, as per usual, I am having so much fun getting to know you guys in the Bloom and Grow Garden Club on Facebook. I hope you join the fun. The Bloom and Grow Garden Club is my online community, which involves being a part of my email list where I'll keep you posted on episodes and give you advanced access to sales on some upcoming Bloom and Grow merch, which is getting made as we speak slash listen, and some events that I have coming down the pike. And you'll also get the password to join the Facebook group, which is this incredible bustling group of plant people. It is so fun to just watch you guys help each other with these plant questions. It's like you don't even need me, but it's so fun to watch people post pictures of their plants with questions on identification or care and have everybody just kind of answering and supporting each other and making connections. And I've seen a couple of people connect after they've realized that they're in the same area. So I hope that they become plant friends in real life. So it's really just been beautiful. And in addition to that, you also get a free download of the exclusive Keep Blooming print that the incredible Molly Mansfield made for us. And it's this gorgeous watercolor of prickly pear cacti in various states of bloom. And it and Molly is just the best. So anyways, if you're interested in joining the club, visit bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club for more details. On to today's episode. I am so excited because the fiddle leaf fig, otherwise known as Ficus lyrata, has just been like so hot right now, kind of for a while. I knew I wanted to do an episode on this particular plant because I've heard from several people who have bought a fiddle leaf fig tree and they're not a cheap investment. They can be very expensive. I've heard from friends that they've bought them as kind of a starter plant and had all the leaves drop off. And I think the thing with this plant is, although it feels like a starter plant, a tried and true beginner plant because you see it everywhere, it's actually not that easy to care for and can be a little finicky, and some people even refer to it as high maintenance. So I thought that we needed to do a special episode dedicated to it. So as I was thinking about who I wanted to invite on the show, I thought, who better than one of the founders of the fiddle leaf hashtag FLF Friday. Erin Kobayashi of the account Lake Hyogo is joining us today. She is a proud plant mom of two fiddle leaf fig trees, Figgy Spice and Notorious FIG. And she joins us to discuss her journey caring for her amazing plants and what she's learned along the way. And she co-founded the hashtag Fiddle Leaf Friday with Alina Fasikova and shares the reason behind creating the hashtag. And Alina, we love you. So enough from me. On with the conversation. Hi, Erin. Thanks for being on Bloom and Grow Radio today.
Hi, Maria. Thanks so much for having me and creating such an accessible, inclusive podcast. I'm really excited.
Thank you. I'm so excited that you're tuning in with me all the way from Toronto, Canada. I love how I'm having like such a nice little collection of Canadians cycle through these episodes as well. You're Canadian number three so far.
I love the representation.
Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, I'm just so excited for this conversation we're about to have because I feel like the fiddle leaf fig is just so hot and sexy right now, but it's also kind of elusive. And in the last like 3 weeks, I've had several people come up to me saying that they won't have plants in their house because they bought, like invested in a fiddle leaf fig and all the leaves fell off and it died. Like, I think that they're way more finicky than people think. So I'm so excited to have you, the founder of Fiddle Leaf Friday, on to kind of dispel myths and properly educate us on the right care. So with that being said, before we dive into actual fiddle leaf fig specifics, I'd love to just hear a little bit about your journey into plant parenthood. Have you always had a green thumb? Did you grow up with plants around the house or your parents green thumbs? Like, have you always loved fiddle leaf figs? What has your whole journey been like?
So my plant love really coincided with adopting my dog Luna, who is kind of the star of my Instagram, Sorry Plants.
She truly is. It's Luna and the plants.
Yes. So she's 4 and a half, and I'd say my plant collection started about 4 years ago. Luna was a crazy, insane, active puppy. She's half Catahoula Leopard and half German Shepherd.
She's so pretty.
Thank you. They're herding dogs, and they live for the outdoors. And since I live in a condo, I don't have a backyard. I just have a little patio, so I found myself always going outside, taking Luna for epic walks in the greenest areas I could find in the city of Toronto, which is where I live. So I kind of call Luna my CrossFit trainer. And I realized my favorite places to take her were parks and outdoor gardens. And there's this gorgeous rose garden by where I live with fountains and mature trees and statues and a historical cabin. It's really beautiful. And after I would come in from these like 2 hour walks, I realized how much I loved being outdoors. And it became very evident that I was really lacking greenery and nature in my condo. So I started collecting houseplants to kind of green it up inside.
That's so interesting. So when you were a kid and like in college, all that stuff, you were never into plants. You just kind of woke up one day realizing that you liked them.
I think I grew up in a family that liked to spend time outdoors. Some of my favorite childhood memories are actually going camping with my family in a tent. And I was a Girl Guide brownie growing up. Yeah, so I think my family, particularly my dad's side, are exceptional with plants. My dad gardens outdoors in the summer and grows vegetables. And he's a total natural when it comes to gardening. And my grandfather, Kiyomi, actually worked as a gardener in Toronto, taking care of plants on private estates.
Wow.
He was actually trained as a fisherman and owned boats in British Columbia. He was born in Canada, but since he was Japanese-Canadian, his life was totally affected during World War II, and his boats were taken away. And he and his young family were sent off to work on farms in the prairies. And when the war ended, he had to start a new life and ended up in Toronto working as a gardener. And my father, the youngest, was eventually born here. But I do have memories of visiting my grandfather's house and his dining room being full of plants and also miniature wood bonsai figurines everywhere. And I actually think about my grandfather a lot when I take care of my plants. My dad said, one summer, he went to work with my grandfather and quit like the first day because he couldn't get over how difficult and hard the labor was working on plants outside in the summer. So I also think of my grandfather when I see kind of pristine, beautiful botanical gardens because, there's a lot of time and labor put into managing them.
That's so beautiful. And I love the more people I talk to, there's always some sort of family connection, you know, that influences you, even if it's that your parents had brown thumbs and made you think that you didn't, but then you got to like learn that you didn't. You know, there's always some sort of affect from the family on these plant people. And what a beautiful, magical story about your grandpa. That's incredible. And you honor him every day with your rescues and your houseplant collection. That's awesome. So how many plants do you have in your apartment now? And do you have a favorite besides your fiddle leaves, obviously?
Oh, I haven't actually counted my plants for a while, so I have no idea. I'm guessing maybe 40 plants. I live in a very small space. I only have a door with windows and another small window, so it's very cramped in those areas. But in terms of my favorite plant right now, I'd say it's my, and it has been for a while, it's called a black coral taro, and it's a black plant. But I like it because when it grows, it kind of always has one new green leaf, one mature black leaf, and then this dying leaf that kind of turns this burgundy red. And I just love how the past, present, and future is represented in this plant. It's really gorgeous.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you say the name again?
It's called a black coral taro, and it's from the Calocasia family.
We'll put a picture of that in the show notes for anyone that's interested. Oh, I love that cycle of life on your windowsill. That's beautiful.
Spectacular.
So I think without further ado, we need to talk about your experience with your fiddle leaves. Tell me about how Notorious F.I.G. and Figgy Spice came to be.
So my first fiddle leaf fig was Notorious F.I.G. Biggie Smalls.
I love that. It's so clever.
Thank you. I found him on Kijiji, and Kijiji is kind of the equivalent to Craigslist in the U.S. So it's just
okay.
Kind of a random website where you can find secondhand items.
Oh, yeah. I think that's where Daryl found his Monstera from Houseplant.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So this couple, they were moving back to Australia, and they had tons of plants, and they were selling Notorious F.I.G. on Kijiji. So I went. At the time, he was only 4 feet tall. And when I brought him home, I realized he had scale. It's actually kind of a good lesson, because when you buy from a reputable nursery, chances are it's not going to be infested with bugs, or you can bring it back. You can return it. But unfortunately, this was a Kijiji buy, so there were no returns. So I immediately had to start working on him and trying to fight the scale.
You're actually the second person who's mentioned scale on the show, and I don't really know what that is. I know it's a bug infestation, but can you just talk a little bit about what scale is?
It's an insect, and it kind of sucks the life out of your tree. They can colonize really quickly indoors, and you want to separate your plant immediately, because they really quickly like multiply. So I had never had scale before. I didn't know what to do.
What does it look like on a plant?
Okay, so apparently scale is super common pest infestation for fiddle leaf fig. And they are like miniature turtles. And you can actually just pick them off with your fingernail. They should actually be very easy to pop off. So Notorious F.I.G. wasn't completely infested, but he did have a lot on his bottom leaves, and his bottom leaves were falling off and damaged. So I took cotton swabs with alcohol, and I seriously like picked off every scale insect with a Q-tip.
Oh my God. It's like when your kid gets lice.
Yeah, truly. Oh, truly.
That's terrible.
You have to be careful, because fiddle leaf figs, like, they can bruise, and if you put too much pressure on them, rip, puncture. So it's quite the process, in my opinion.
Okay, so when you got it home, you had to separate it and treat all of his leaves, or most of his leaves, for scale. And then how long did it take for him to bounce back?
Well, I had to sit him in the corner, and I don't have many corners with light.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there for about 2 weeks until I felt safe to move him into a better spot with more light. I am super obsessive with the washing of my fiddle leaf figs, though. I think I do it about every 2 weeks.
And what does that entail?
I just use normal tap water and a paper towel, and I just wipe them off. Fiddle leaf figs, their leaves are so large that you can immediately see when dust appears on them, which drives me insane.
Yeah.
Actually, my constant cleaning of the leaves have helped me discover other issues and also prevent other issues like spider mites.
Oh, so you can catch them really early.
Yeah. And spider mites are kind of a different bug, because they don't hold on to the leaves as hard as a scale insect. They actually wipe off really easily. So a shower can, you know, clean them off, rinse them off of the leaves. So during one of my washings, I discovered spider mites on Figgy Spice. So she's my rescue.
Yes. So we have Notorious F.I.G., who you bought and brought home, who was pretty big when you got him, right?
Yeah, I'd say he was about 4 feet tall, and now he's over 7.
Wow. Over how many years?
I've only had him for about a year and a half, actually.
That's a lot. So he grew 3 feet in a year and a half.
Yeah, Figgy is Biggie.
What about Figgy Spice? Because Figgy Spice was like a true rescue, right?
She was a true rescue. I love Figgy Spice. And I feel like Figgy Spice is more popular than Figgy Smalls. So I live on the first floor of a condo. I don't have a garbage chute, so I have to carry my garbage to the garbage room. And lo and behold, I saw Figgy Spice sitting in the garbage room, disposed of.
Aww.
And she had 7 leaves. I'd say 3 were like incredibly damaged. So I brought her home, and I decided to try to rescue her.
And that was relatively recently, because I had been following you on Instagram. So that must have been in the last like 8 months.
Yeah. I'm not sure the exact I think October is when, late October is when I found her.
And how is she doing now?
She's doing great. So the first thing I did was check to see if she had any bugs because I didn't want to bring more bugs into my place. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't really willing to invest a lot in this rescue plant, not knowing that much about her history or if she'd be able to survive. So I actually just repotted her because she was in her nursery pot in a slightly larger pot with kind of cheap gardening soil, not the best soil, and perlite. And yeah, she started recovering after a month and popping out a new leaf. It was amazing.
Did she drop any of the 7 leaves that she came home with?
Yes, she did. So during the repotting process, she originally had 7 leaves and she dropped 3. So I'd say she officially started out with 4 leaves.
Okay. And since then, how many leaves has she grown?
Now she has... She has 19 leaves.
Oh my goodness. In only 8 months.
During the winter when she should be resting.
Wow. So you must have just found like the perfect sweet spot for them to like really thrive in your apartment.
Right. Yeah. So she's right in front of a southwest window. And I really feel like she was just deprived of water and seriously thirsty. Mm-hmm. So I've just been taking care of her in such a tender way. And
do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. I guess this is a good segue to, let's just do a little fiddly fig 101 plant care. Because I think the biggest issue is that they're very temperamental and you really have to find that sweet spot of the right light and right water or they're going to drop all their leaves on you. So do you want to kind of give me a rundown of what – I'm too intimidated to get a fiddly fig that I'm nervous that I would kill it. So for someone who wouldn't have one that would want to take one in, where should I be looking to put it and how should I be thinking about taking care of it?
So I've noticed on Instagram and Pinterest that these gorgeous plants are – kind of used as objects and just kind of thrown in corners of homes where they probably wouldn't be able to survive. Yeah. So I definitely would recommend a bright, bright window as like the perfect sweet spot for your fiddly fig. You have to remember that they're originally from West Africa, so they're used to sun. And apparently how they grow here is they kind of blanket them in the nursery, so they become slightly lower light plants. Okay. When they're growing them. But yeah, they react quite well to sun. And a lot of people say, oh, their leaves are going to burn if they sit in direct sun. But my fiddly figs sit in really bright, direct southwest sun for about 3 hours a day, and none of their leaves have ever burned. So I'm a big believer in a sun-filled space for fiddly figs.
So direct sun is okay. Or I guess direct sun or bright direct sun is better than low light. Like if you had either in front of a window or in like a dark corner, the more sun, the better. And then just monitor if the leaves do start to burn.
Totally, yes.
Because the one thing that I think is interesting with the fiddly fig is there's a lot of like conflicting advice on the internet about it.
Yes, it's so confusing because people say, why are the leaves turning brown on the edges? And you always hear it's either overwatering or underwatering. And how do you figure that out? I think the watering schedule is like with the bright light is key to growing healthy fiddly figs. My notorious FIG, I water him about once a week. And okay. I actually just use a kettle, the kettle on my stove.
So do I.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah.
And I measured the amount of water in the kettle, and it's about 4 cups. So I'm feeding a 7-foot plant 4 cups of water once a week. And that seems to work for him. With Figgy Spice, mm-hmm. she's a lot smaller, so I don't give her as much water. But I always make sure the top seems saturated.
The top layer of soil, you mean?
Yes, yeah.
During the watering or throughout the week? Or do you let the soil dry out throughout the week?
I let the top layer of soil completely dry out. And I always poke a chopstick in to see if it's still moist past the 1-inch mark of soil.
Okay. Yeah, I need to invest in a moisture meter because I look at all of my pots of plants and they all have like my finger holes from just like consistently poking to see if it's moist or not. I'm like, this is not a good look. A moisture meter would be helpful for this.
Absolutely. That's why I wear really dark nail polish.
Right. Because there's always soil. That's like the true mark of a crazy plant lady. Yeah. It's like always just having just a little bit of dirt under your fingernails. So ideally very bright indirect light or bright light for light, and then watering about once a week, depending on your scenario, letting the first like inch of the soil dry out.
Yes, and making sure it's in a pot that drains with holes at the bottom. This is very important because fiddly figs can suffer from root rot if you overwater them. And if it has root rot, you'll have to trim the roots back. Fortunately, I haven't had to deal with this, but I've read a lot about this online.
Yeah. And I think with the trees too, a lot of those bigger containers that you see like in the fashionable stores, none of them have drainage. So you end up having to put your lava rocks or your soil or it with those big pots like bricks or like broken pots to create your own drainage.
Yeah, which is totally doable.
So that's watering. And then what about fertilizing? Do you fertilize?
Yes, I do. So I feel like I'm totally not elitist or snobby when it comes to fertilizer. And for my fiddly figs, I have been using a synthetic fertilizer and they seem to react very well to it. It's Schultz fertilizer. I don't know if you get that commercial brand, but it's liquid and it's a 10-15-10 formula.
Okay.
And there wasn't really much online about fertilizer for fiddly figs, but I came across a brand new website actually, and this woman, Claire, sells a formulation specifically for fiddly figs.
Oh, really? Do you want to give the website a shout out?
Yeah. It's fiddlyfigplant.com, and she sells the formula on an Etsy site. And yeah, I'm actually really excited to try it. I haven't tried it yet, but.
So people can check out fiddlyfigplant.com for more details on that. So how often do you fertilize?
I fertilize when I see new growth, and I thought Figgy Spice would be dormant during the winter, like most houseplants, but she started popping. She reacted really well to being replanted in late October and started popping out new leaves. And so I continue to fertilize her during the winter. And with this liquid fertilizer, it says you can use it with every watering. I didn't do that. I think that's a bit much. But I fertilized her maybe once every 3 weeks.
Okay, cool. So about once a month, even through the winter or when there's new growth. So don't be afraid of that.
Yeah, she reacted really well. So I sometimes think you have to throw those rules out of not fertilizing in the winter.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting because indoor plants aren't experiencing seasons the way outdoor plants are as much, you know? So of course, some of them need time to go into dormancy to kind of regenerate and rest. But I feel like with indoor plants, it is kind of different than your normal outdoor gardening advice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what about pruning? Do you prune them? Have you pruned them?
Not Notorious F.I.G., but Figgy Spice. Yes, there's pinching, and that's when you can clip the top leaf mm-hmm. off, and it'll kind of grow out a new branch. And I've done that with her because she had a branch, and I think it maybe only had one leaf. So yeah, that was actually quite successful. They react very well to pruning. I sometimes think of them almost as large bonsai trees, in that you can really prune them and trim them to a specific look. So there are two different types of fiddly figs that you can buy, a bush type and a tree type. And I feel like the tree type is more popular. Notorious F.I.G. is a bush type. So he only has one kind of trunk mm-hmm. that grows straight up, kind of like a column. Whereas Figgy Spice is a tree, so she has several branches kind of popping out of one trunk.
That's cool, and that's cool that you can make her branch more. But does that kill your soul to pinch a new leaf off?
I think it's worth it. In the end, if you want more of a balance. She does have one leaf that was completely destroyed by spider mites with tons of holes in it, but I can't bring myself to trim it off.
I know, it's tough. Sometimes it's tough.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, nothing's really wrong with it.
Right. So when you pinch the top, when you take that top leaf off, a branch is going to grow out in a separate direction. So it's no longer going to grow up like that. It's going to actually encourage a whole new branch, which will have more leaves on it.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so you are kind of getting double for that one pinch. So it does make sense.
Yeah, you're kind of creating a fork, right?
Very cool. Okay. Have you run into any like troubleshooting issues with fiddly figs that you feel like people should know about, or things you should not do with your fiddly fig? Because I know that people say you can't move it a lot, like it acclimates to its area, or like it can't be around draft. So don't put it close to like wherever a door would be opening and closing. Anything like that that you've learned that you'd want to share?
Yeah, I just find fiddly figs adapt and they're so unique. It's hard to kind of give all-encompassing advice mm-hmm. because I think it really changes with every plant. For example, my fiddly figs are actually right beside a door, and I use it every day to take Luna out. So there's always a draft hitting it, but they don't seem to react or mind that much. I actually like them being in the door, especially a bush fiddly fig, because it's so long and large that all of his leaves will get hit by light, mm-hmm. as opposed to a window where the lower leaves are kind of struggling because they might be cut off.
Right.
Yeah, I really just recommend cleaning and washing the leaves a lot. They're like satellites, and they really need to read that sun and absorb in order to create energy to grow.
Yeah, because the leaves are so large, it really is a lot of surface area.
It is, yeah, and what I love about them is that they're so sculptural in quality. You probably follow Hilton Carter.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. So he has this famous fiddly fig named Frank.
Yes.
And to me, Frank is like the perfect specimen of a fiddly fig.
Frank is remarkable.
He's like the David, the Michelangelo's David of fiddly figs. He's just beautiful. Perfect balance, perfect branching.
Total, especially that split in the two branches that just reach up to the sky.
So perfect. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel like I almost want to say fiddly figs are comparable to kind of living sculptures in our home, mm-hmm. because when you notice a leaf fall off, they're just so massive. It's actually quite noticeable. It would be like a sculpture and it loses a finger. You notice that and it bothers you.
They're also unique. Like, I've never really seen one fiddly fig that looks exactly like another one. Maybe with the exception of the really small ones, like the 3 feeders that you can buy at the store that all just kind of look like one little column. Like any more mature fiddly fig, they all look really different.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are so unique. Yeah. So I think that's what I'd stress, is that they're all unique. There's not, I guess, one way to take care of them or grow them. And all of our environments are different anyway. So my advice, it couldn't apply to some other environments and spaces.
Totally. I think that's true, because plants, they harden off to go outside in the summer. Like plants totally adjust to your circumstance. And all of us in different apartments and different condos have such different humidity levels, I feel like, in our apartments as well, that that really greatly affects how the plant is going to thrive and what we need to do to make the plant thrive.
Yes, absolutely. That is a good point, though. I recently, for this winter, I got a humidifier, and it has made such a huge difference in the health of my plants. So I highly recommend investing in a decent humidifier because you will notice a difference.
Do you have one close to the fiddly figs? And also, do you spray them at all for humidity?
Well, I have a humidifier, and I kind of switch rooms every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So right now it's actually in the bedroom, but sometimes it's out in the more common area where the fiddly figs are. I also have an air purifier fan, and that helps with the humidity and breathability of the space for the plants.
Yeah, I read recently that air circulation also helps avoid mold and bugs.
Yeah, somebody told me, like, put a fan by your fiddly figs, it'll really help, mm-hmm. and I've done that. And misting, I do mist new leaves on my fiddly fig. I noticed that Figgy Spice was opening up these, like, leaves covered in holes, and I knew it wasn't spider mites. I had solved the spider mite problem. Mm-hmm. So I asked Instagram what was wrong, and the recommendation was to mist the new leaf, because a lot of people think it was sticking together when it was opening because it was so dry in the condo. And I've been doing that, and she's been honestly opening up perfect leaves.
Really? Just by changing the mist, just by changing the humidity, only on those new baby leaves?
Yes, yeah.
That's wild.
Isn't it great?
So you don't spray the large leaves?
No, I only wash the large leaves every couple weeks.
Speaking of the leaves, I also did not know this until I Googled fiddle leaf the other day, but it gets its name because the leaves look like fiddles. They look like little violins.
Yeah, which is also why I think it's such an artistic kind of sculptural musical plant.
Totally.
Because they have these beautiful giant like violin fiddle-like leaves.
Mm-hmm. I know, they're so beautiful. Have you learned any other like fun facts about the fiddle leaf fig just in your research and for having them for over a year? Or just history, like besides the fact that they come from West Africa?
Right. So they actually begin life as an epiphyte. So that's when a plant grows on another plant.
Really?
So let's say, yeah, isn't that interesting?
Huh. Okay.
And the roots will grow downwards to the ground, where it'll seek nourishment from the soil, and it'll slowly kind of envelop the host tree and eventually strangle it. So I think that's kind of interesting.
That's wild. That's a resilient plant.
Yeah, they're strong. They're tough.
And they ultimately just developed into actual trees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love
that.
Yeah,
and they can grow up to like 50 feet in their natural habitat. So like people are always saying, wow, Biggie Smalls, he's 7 feet tall. That's huge, but not in comparison to the wild.
Yeah, I don't know why for some reason I thought that they were a more slow-growing plant. But I do have a couple of friends who have said that their fiddle leaf will shoot up, like have different periods of extreme growth.
Absolutely. Actually, today I discovered a new leaf, so she'll have 20 leaves soon, but she grew so much in the winter.
That is wild. She really does have incredible character to her, too, though. She's like, you can tell she's scrappy, you know?
Yes, she's very scrappy.
She's not like, you know, Hilton's, I would say, is like a very regal, almost theatrical, like, vibe of a fiddle leaf, and Figgy Spice is like scrappy do. Like, you know what I mean? Not that I'm actually talking about plants with personalities on a radio show that people are going to hear about, like a psychopath. So I know you mentioned scale. I know you mentioned spider mites. Any other pests that you notice that they're prone to, and any other pest control suggestions you have? I think the key is definitely wiping. What did you say, once a week or once every 2 weeks you wipe the leaves down?
Yeah, once every 2 weeks. Okay. I'll clean the leaves because they collect dust so quickly.
Yeah, and just inspecting them a lot. And yeah, any other advice with pests?
Well, with spider mites, you'll notice right away if they've colonized, because they create webbing in between the leaves and stems.
Okay.
So that's a telltale sign. You'll also notice little red spots, and I thought they were kind of cute. They were like freckles, but it's actually areas where the spider mite has dug in and sucked out the chlorophyll in the plant, leaving kind of a little red scar. Aww. So you'll notice very, very tiny kind of reddish brown dots.
And how did you treat the spider mites?
So I just used a horticultural oil, and neem is actually not legal in Canada, so I can never find neem anywhere. So I just used a commercial one. And then I had the suggestion of spraying 50% rubbing alcohol and 50% water solution onto the leaves. And it's a lot more gentle for fiddly figs because it won't block their pores as much as a horticultural oil.
Right. Because neem oil is known to like almost suffocate a plant if you put too much on the leaves.
Right. Yeah. So after I treated it with oil, I just started spraying it with 50-50 solution. And that seemed to work.
You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. How often did you have to spray until you noticed the mites being gone?
I treated her. I sprayed with the horticultural oil once every 3 days for about a week. And then I switched to the 50-50 solution, and I did that for about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's definitely a process when you get pests.
Yeah, it's horrible because, you know, they can spread, and that's the biggest fear. All of your houseplants are going to be infested.
Yeah. How long had you and Alina been speaking before you decided to make the hashtag together?
Probably not that long. I just really admired her photography and how healthy her plants were. And I guess her plant ethics. She's definitely someone who says, listen, I'm not going to buy any plants this winter, and sticks to it, which is not what I can do.
So hard. Oh, so hard. I suffered. When I was in San Diego in January, I felt like I needed to buy all these succulents to bring back to New York. But then I just – buying plants in the winter is not – most of my succulents are etiolated or are suffering from etiolation. Like, they all stretched for the light, which gives them their own, like, cute little quirky character. But whatever. You learn. I'm learning. I'm blooming and growing.
Yeah. And you realize, like, how quickly you can accumulate plants. So, like, doing kind of the slow grow of collecting is – honestly, it's the best way to do it, because you're only going to get really what you desire and want. And isn't that like a great way to consume?
Totally. 100%. And we just want to give Alina a little shout out today. She couldn't be with us for the interview, but Alina, we love you so much. And for people who are interested in checking Alina out, she's an incredible artist. You can find her at alina.fassakhova on Instagram. And oh, speaking of Instagram, let's talk about your, okay, so your name is Erin, but your Instagram handle is Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Kyoko. So where, can you tell us all the story about your Instagram name? And I'm sure how confused people get and how everybody probably calls you Lee.
I don't know. I feel like Lee Kyoko is sort of an extension of me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Instagram, it's a bit of a fantasy world. Like, does my condo always look the way it looks on Instagram? Mm-hmm. Not really. There's definitely messy corners, dirty dishes. So I kind of felt like Lee Kyoko's like...
Your elevated self, the best version of yourself for Instagram.
Totally. She's definitely the best version of myself. Lee Kyoko dresses up and puts makeup on when she walks the dog.
So Lee is your middle name?
Yes, Lee is my middle name. Kyoko is also my middle name. And my real name is Erin Kobayashi. And it's kind of funny because Kobayashi means small forest in Japanese.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that funny? And it's so crazy. It's a really, like, it's a long last name, just like Alina's last name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like the Smith of Japanese last names. It's quite common. So I just wanted to go with Lee Kyoko because I thought it was a little more feminine and soft and slightly easier to spell.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that she's your, like, plant personality, your planty personality.
Yeah, the real Erin Kobayashi kills all.
And Erin Kobayashi is also a very successful, you're a full-time freelance writer, right?
Yeah, and actually getting into plants has been wonderful because I've been able to write lots of stories about gardening and growing house plants and indoor plants since I started on this plantastic journey. So I think getting writing jobs because of this.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Where can we find like some of your most recent articles?
I write for the Toronto Star, which is Canada's largest newspaper. And I have quite a few plant and garden articles on there.
That's amazing. And so if people want to follow you and Notorious F.I.G. and Figgy Spice's journey, we can find you at L-E-I-G-H-K-I-Y-O-K-O, right?
Perfect. Yeah.
Cool. So for our closing question that I love to ask everyone, why do you think that everybody should have a plant in their life besides the fact that, you know, plants clean the air and look pretty in a corner? And if you want to pertain it to fiddleleafs, you can, or to rescues maybe. But yeah, why has this been such an important part of your journey, and why would you recommend it to other people?
All right. So I actually come from an Indigenous studies academic background. And a huge takeaway from that learning experience was respect nature, listen to nature, take care of nature, because we're the gatekeepers and have a responsibility to all living things because we're all interconnected. Mm. So for me, connecting to plants, houseplants, is like an exercise in respect. And I think once you establish an intimacy with plants, it begins to kind of extend to every other aspect of your life. You start caring more about the environment and hopefully adapt better environmental practices. I also kind of think living with a houseplant is like learning a new language. Yeah, when I got my dog Luna, she kind of taught me to become more fluent in another species' language. So I'd recognize her feelings through body language and her reactions, reading her ears and tail. And I think plants also speak language. And as I grow with my collection, I think I'm becoming more sensitive to their wants and needs by learning the plant language. So plants are incredibly expressive and resilient and forgiving and intelligent organisms. And I think by having them, caring for them deeply, it has increased my sensitivity and empathy for living organisms that maybe are often overlooked or undervalued.
Oh, that is beautifully said. Thank you so much. I love that you touched on, I think we all talk a lot about how plants can teach you patience and understanding, but they can totally also teach you forgiveness. And I feel like your whole experience with Figgy Spice, like she was just like beat up and, you know, you kind of saved her, and just the experience of the forgiveness there must have been beautiful. And it's true, like being a plant lady doesn't mean, or a botanical bro, doesn't mean having perfect plants. It means like learning and growing, and, you know, you can accidentally mistreat a plant and they're resilient, and that's beautiful.
Exactly.
I love it. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Erin. This was such a beautiful talk.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
What a lovely conversation with Erin. Am I right? She is the best, and I look forward to keeping track of Figgy Spice and Notorious F.I.G. on Instagram. And before I wrap up this episode, I just also wanted to give a special shout out and thank you to my Bloom and Grow Radia Media Maven Plant Lady intern, Miss Chelsea Zaplachinsky. She is ironically another Canadian. I love that her first episode is with Erin, our fellow Canadian. I'm just bringing all the Canadians on Bloom and Grow Radio, but she is helping me edit some of the media in season two and just being an amazing set of ears and eyes for me in this next season. And I'm so thankful to everything she has been doing for me so far. She is also an incredible photographer. And in addition to being an amazing plant mom, she has this incredible closet setup, grow light closet setup with all sorts of plants and cacti, which I'll be sharing on my Instagram. But she has a couple of Instagram accounts that are incredible. If you like plants and cats, check out her Plants versus Cats Instagram. It is stunning photos of her kitty cats and plants that are just beautiful. And even just some of the, I'm not as much of a cat person, but I love obviously looking at photos of plants, and her plant photography is amazing. And then she also has Chelsea Megan Media on Instagram, which is her photography business and tons of plants, but other stuff. And she's just got such a beautiful eye, and she's such a talent. So Chelsea, I love you. Thank you so much for your help with this episode and helping me bloom and grow in season two. All right, everyone, till next week. Thanks again for having a listen today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Bloom and Grow Radio on iTunes and leave us a review. If you want to follow the Bloom and Grow journey and are interested in more plant tips, give us a follow on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio and visit www.bloomandgrowradio.com to join the email list. And please let me know what you want to hear in the future episodes. I'm here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.